Do you know the calling of Christ in your life? Have you discovered God's will for the path that you should tread? Are others seeing the glory of God in your life? Or are you just going with the flow or living in a way that is pleasing only to yourself? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'm Matthew, filling in for Pastor Eugene. This week, Pastor Jim brings us the conclusion of a message on the transfiguration of Christ. Let's join in.
So as Jesus went away to pray, they fall asleep. But while they're sleeping, something's going on. You know, when Jesus was in the boat, the storm was raging, the waves were coming in, and Jesus was sound asleep until they came and woke him. But these guys, there's something going on. They hear it. They know something's happening around them. The light is changing around them even. And so they begin to wake up. And when they become fully awake, they see what's unfolding right in front of them. While Jesus was praying, it says in verse 29, the appearance of his face was altered. And I've looked at this, and I saw a number of different commentaries that told us all sorts of different ideas of what it meant that his face was altered. But truly, what I'm thinking when I look at this is I'm thinking about the glory, the brightness of his glory shining through his face. If you look at a bright, bright light, it's distorted, isn't it? The globe or whatever it's in, it's altered, it's distorted because of the brightness of the light that's coming from it. And I believe that there was a brightness that was coming from his face because his glory was beginning to shine around. That glory was so amazing that out in the field on the night that Jesus was born, the shepherds were afraid because the glory shined all around them. So his face is altered and his clothing became dazzling white. Some versions say, white like it had been bleached. What Jared read out of Mark this morning said it became radiant, intensely white. The white that comes from the light was shining through. And there was no veil that was going to contain it. You know, when Moses would go up on the mountain and he would spend time with God and he would come back down from the mountain, the people were afraid of him because he glowed from having been in the presence of God. And so he had to veil himself because of the fear of the people. There was no veil that was going to hide the glory of God in the Son who is God. And so they wake up to see this. And I like the comment. I think the positioning in the text is a little odd to me, but I love the comment, when they became fully awake and saw his glory. I don't think it took them long to become fully awake. What about you? I think as they were hearing what was going on, they're waking up to see something, see what's happening, and they see this, it's not what they were expecting. And I think they woke up pretty fast. And when they did, it says there in that verse 32 that and the two men stood with him. The two men, they saw at that moment. And behold, verse 30, two men were talking with him. So here's Jesus in his glory, the glory that he had before the world was even created. He's in his glory. And make no mistake, this is a tiny little glimpse of his glory. Because if it was his full glory, they'd be dead. Okay, so they see this going on in front of them, and then they see Moses and Elijah. Now, whether they recognize them from descriptions that have been passed down through the years, or whether they had their names mentioned in the conversation, or whether what they were saying caused them to recognize them, I don't know. But they knew it was Moses and Elijah. There was no doubt to them that it was Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah are interesting picks, aren't they? I mean, this is God. He could bring anyone back from history. In fact, he could go the other way and he could pull anyone out of future from that date and bring them there, right? Or He could have just raised somebody up or something up for that particular conversation. But he chose Moses and Elijah. Think about these two for a moment. First, Moses. Moses went up on the mountain to die, right? To get a glimpse of the promised land and to die. Who does the Bible say buried Moses? God. God. Not Moses' men, not any of the Jews, not an Israelite, but God. Now we have Elijah. Do you remember how Elijah died? He didn't. I was going to say, if you remember how he died, you're lying. Because he didn't die. He was taken up, right? So these two that we cannot record apart from what the scriptures say, their end, are the two that he brings. I think that's interesting. Also, these two are amongst the greatest of all the prophets. And yes, Moses was a prophet as well. These two are of the greatest. And what is it they did as prophets? They pointed ahead to the Messiah. They pointed ahead to the hope that God gave us way back in Genesis when he gave the curse. So these two who have looked ahead because of the knowledge and the understanding that God the Father has given them are now talking with the one that they pointed to in front of these three leaders of the apostles. Now that's a picture, isn't it? That's a picture. You know, as the leader of a church, it is so amazing when I see God's confirmation in what he's doing here. It is like, I can't even describe it. It is so amazing when you see his confirmation. You know, part of serving God is drudgery, isn't it? Whether you want to admit it or not. If it wasn't drudgery, he wouldn't have just told us last week in the text that we looked at, pick up your cross daily and follow after me. You have to pick it up daily because there are those who are going to come against you. And when people start to come against you for doing what is right, you begin to question yourself and what you are doing. And if you are not confident in it, they can lead you away from what God has called you to do. You have to stand and stand strong. In a meeting this week, I pointed out, conversation was about leadership for a moment in that meeting, and I pointed out that leadership sometimes gets to see or knows things that the whole group doesn't know. And we see that with what they're witnessing here. There would come a time for the group to know, but it wasn't then. So they wake up, all this is going on, and they're having a discussion. They're discussing his departure, which was about to be accomplished in Jerusalem. So they're talking about Jesus' exodus is really what the word would be, talking about him leaving this earth and fulfilling what they had been pointing to throughout the Old Testament, especially these two, pointing to what you and I know as salvation as we look back at Jesus and his work of the cross. So they're wide awake at this point, folks. I assure you, they are wide awake. If there was nothing but the glory of God happening, shining like that, they would have been wide awake. And so they're taking this in. And as the men, this is verse 33, as the men were parting from him, I'm going to jump to the very end of that verse for just a second. The last little section of that says, not knowing what he said. Okay, this is Peter. Okay, as the men were departing from him, Peter, not knowing what he is about to say, Or let me translate that just a little bit for you, or transliterate that just a little bit for you. Luke is saying Peter, not realizing how stupid his comment that he is about to make was going to be. Folks, do we ever do that? I'm glad I'm not alone. Sometimes I catch it as soon as I hit send or it comes out of my mouth. I'm like, oh, did I really just say that? Peter did that a lot. Peter constantly was the one who would say something in these situations. Now, we can't fault Peter completely for this because nobody else was speaking up, right? When Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on water, where were the other 11? In the boat. They didn't say, hey, we're coming too. They were in the boat. When Peter said that you are the Christ, and he was praised for that comment that didn't come from anything he had learned, but from God himself. And then just moments later, when Jesus is telling about his being betrayed and his death and resurrection, and Peter rebukes him, Peter's speaking for everybody. When we speak, especially as leaders, it's best to get all the facts. You know, it really is. If we don't have all the facts, how often do we have to go back and recant what we have said? Okay, let me rephrase that. How often should we go back and recant what we have said so we can share the truth? I try to often prepare whoever I'm talking to for that to happen when they ask me something and want an answer, and I'll say, okay, now this is just me thinking. I haven't looked at this. I haven't dug into this. I haven't researched it. I haven't prayed over it. This is just me thinking, which is probably when I should shut up every time that comes out of my mouth. But, and then I go on to say what it is I'm thinking. Well, Peter just puts it out there. In verse 33, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Absolutely, it is good. Remember when Isaiah saw in chapter 6, God high and lifted up? Boy, that propelled Isaiah, didn't it? That propelled him to service. It was just moments later after God had cleansed him with the coal, the fiery coal. It cleansed his lips. It was just moments later when God said, who shall we send? And he said, here I am, send me. He was so moved by it. Peter is so moved by the glimpse of God's glory. Now, folks, if you are saved, if you belong to him, there's been places along the way, especially when you were saved, that you got a glimpse of his glory. Now, if it happened apart from his word and prayer, then it was a lie, it was fake, it was imitation. But if it happened with his word, where you're reading or you're praying in his word, and all of a sudden you see something that maybe you've read 100 times or heard somebody else read 100 times, and then all of a sudden that comes to life in you, and you're like, it is good that we are here. It is good to see this. This is exciting. And that's what Peter is saying. So far he hasn't said anything that he shouldn't say. And again, another problem that I have is I should shut up quicker than I do sometimes. Anybody else got that problem? Peter goes on. Let us make 3 tents or altars, depending on what version you have. 3 altars. One for you, Jesus. One for Moses and one for Elijah. We had been talking over the last several weeks that what comes out of our mouth is what's in our heart, right? Peter just revealed what was in his heart concerning Jesus. He had Jesus, Moses, and Elijah at the same level. Folks, that's a problem. It was a problem for Peter, and it's a problem in the church today. When we put anyone as equal with God the Son, we have a vision problem. We cannot see who he is. I think I used this example last week or the week before, but I'll use it again this week, of Mary and Martha. When Lazarus has died and Jesus comes, and first he's talking with Martha, and he tells Martha, I am the resurrection. And she says, oh, I know. She believes. And on the last day, my brother will be raised again. And Jesus says, no, I am the resurrection. Do you believe this, Martha? Oh, yeah, I believe it. And she goes and gets Mary, and Mary comes, and he says the same thing to Mary. And then they go to the tomb, and he says, roll the stone away. And Mary says, oh, no, by now he stinks. He's decaying. It's been 4 days. I thought she believed. You see, we have the same problem. There is nobody in this room that is better than somebody else. But our understandings are at different places, right? And where our understanding of God's word is where we are, but not where we want to stay. We want to continue to go forward in our understanding. Because as we go forward in our understanding, we get greater glimpses of who he is. And with that comes greater confidence in who he is. So Peter reveals that he doesn't yet understand how much greater Jesus is than even Moses and Elijah. So he said it, it's out there. And it says here in verse 34, as he was saying these things. Okay, this is pouring out of Peter's mouth. God already knew what Peter was about to say, didn't he? In his glory, he knows everything. God the Father, God the Son knows everything. God the Holy Spirit knows everything. Everything past, everything future. And not because he was watching us and figured it out, okay? He knows because he's God and his finger is in every detail. So as Peter has opened mouth and inserted foot, and while he is doing that, this cloud comes and overshadows them. Now this just wasn't just any cloud. This was a heavy, dense cloud. This was one of those clouds. You ever fly up above the clouds and it looks like when you're looking out the window and looking down, it looks like you could just about walk on those? That's the way this cloud, I mean, it was so dense and so thick and so heavy, it looked like it was solid. And as this cloud comes and overshadows them, a voice comes out of the cloud. Now, seeing Jesus in his glory, and now this cloud, Peter and John and James are a little unnerved, okay? I mean, they are. They're excited, but they're also unnerved. They're fearful. And now with this cloud, it says in verse 34, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. You know, Jesus had them up on enough mountains. They had seen enough clouds that a cloud wasn't going to scare them. That's how different this cloud is. And as they enter the cloud, a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen one. What's the next three words? Listen to him. Listen to him. You see, we don't listen to what God has to say in his word. Did you ask me why we don't listen? I'd be glad to tell you. We don't listen because, first, we don't go to it and spend time in it. How can you hear what he has to say in his word? And by the way, his word is the only way he's going to talk to you. He may reveal through prayer his word, but it's always going to be his word. We have no new revelation. When we start hearing someone talk about these things, it needs to raise a red flag for us, doesn't it? When somebody comes to you and says, God told me, you know, I think I said this last week, but I always want to ask, was that by telephone? You know, how did he tell you? Because if it's not by his word, then it wasn't him. Hebrews tells us that, doesn't it? Doesn't it tell us that he speaks now through his word, period. He uses circumstances. He impresses things upon us, but only if they match his word. If they do not match his word, if you could not have gone to his word to find that, then it wasn't him. And so what we do is we start listening to all the wrong things. You know, some of you are not going to care for this statement, but anytime someone says that they've died, spent time with Jesus in heaven, and come back, I'm not necessarily saying they're lying. I'm saying that it was either a dream or they're lying. Because God's not going to give us new pictures of heaven. Anything he wanted someone to die and come back and tell about would have been told in here by Lazarus, right? Anything that he wanted us to see in heaven would be in here, or this would not be complete. And so we got to be careful what we listen to. So that's one red flag. Another thing we have to watch out for here, though, is when people begin to misinterpret what Jesus said. Isn't that what the serpent did in the garden? Now, did God really say, casting doubt, surely you will not die? When people begin to change God's word to fit their purpose, we need to be aware of it. And friends, the only way you're going to be aware of it is if you're in the word. Because if you don't know the word, then anyone can tell you anything. And if they say it sincerely enough, you're liable to believe it. Got to get to his word. And even then, when someone is teaching and saying something, and they're taking his word and they're using it, you need to be able to know it enough to go back and check it too. I tell you to do that with me, let alone anybody else. I might be a fool, but I trust me more than I trust anyone else. And I know how flawed I am. And so take it back. Does it match? And then listen to what he says. Just in this chapter 9, just in this chapter 9 of Luke alone, he has told us so many things. Let's just go back through a couple of them here. He tells us who he is, right? Peter confesses and he says that flesh and blood didn't show this to you. He tells us who the crowds say, who other people say that he is. And this is significant because whenever you're in a group of people, there are going to be people who think Jesus is someone other than who he is. And that includes church, friends. That includes church. I cannot tell you how many times someone who said they were Christian believed that Jehovah Witnesses or Mormons and all and any other cult is Christian because they do not understand. What does he say about himself and what does he say for you to do? Listen to him. He says for you to pick up your cross and follow after him. You know how many people have contradicted me on that? Well, that doesn't mean that you're going to have hard times. I had one lady tell me that there's got to be a problem with your preaching because so many Christians don't like it. Maybe, but I'm not sure that that's the reason they don't like it. When we see God's word and he says something, listen to it. And folks, there aren't many pages in his word where he's not telling you something. There's not very many sentences in his word where he is not telling you something, whether from his mouth or from the mouth of those that he had right and to speak those things. Listen to him. How would you describe a Christian? Wouldn't you describe a Christian as someone who follows after Christ? Isn't that what you'd... How can you follow after someone and not listen to him? Can you? You know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all these groups of people who hated Jesus that were there wherever he was, were they his followers? No, they weren't. They weren't his followers. These were people looking to accuse him. That's not his followers. They were not listening. When I say to you that the scripture says that God elected before time began those who would be saved, not because he knew what they were going to do, but because he made a decision for them and then gave them the information they needed to make that decision. Most of you say, yeah, that's what the Bible says. But you know, out of everything in the scripture, more times than anything else, when I have made that statement, people attack because they don't want to listen to God. They don't want to listen to his sovereignty. They don't want to listen to his greatness. They don't want to listen to his direction. When he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What do you suppose that means? I mean, it's kind of veiled, isn't it? No, it's not. If you love me, you'll do what I tell you, is what it says. So why don't we? We don't because we're too full of us and not full enough of him. In the text that Jared read out of Mark, also in Matthew, Jesus tells his disciples not to share this with anyone. Again, that's one of those things in leadership, that there is a time to share. Was Jesus withholding information from the others? Was Jesus having those three men withhold? No, it wasn't time. There was a time when Jesus would tell everyone that he healed, everyone that he did for, not to tell anybody, because it wasn't time to tell yet, but the time was coming. And when the time came, he commanded all of us to go into the world and to tell all these things that we have seen. So as we come to this last verse, and when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. Does anybody here have trouble keeping a secret? Can you imagine how bad they wanted to tell this? I mean, the number of people who have seen something like this, I think you could get on one hand, right? These three, Moses when he saw the backside of God's glory, and Isaiah. Maybe there might be one or two more, but it's a pretty small group, isn't it? Can you imagine their desire to tell this? After the resurrection is when he said they could tell. That didn't make any sense to them, because no matter what Jesus said to them about his death and resurrection, they still were thinking he was going to be this military leader. So that didn't even make sense to them. They couldn't understand that. But when Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected, they told that story, didn't they? Peter wrote all kinds of things about it. I think Peter talked about that to the day he was crucified, until the day he died. Folks, out of all of this, and as beautiful as the picture is of Jesus in his glory, and we sing songs about that and everything, and as beautiful as that is, what this really comes down to is for us to listen to him, isn't it? If we could only listen, hear. And the listening that he's talking about here is a listening that comes with action. You know, is it James that says, don't be just be hearers of the word, but doers? It's a listening that takes action. I sometimes wonder how someone can profess Christ and sit back and do nothing. Well, I used to wonder. I know now. I've grown and learned enough to know that for the most part, when that is the case, they don't know Christ. He's a neat idea, but he is not their Lord and Savior. So I'm asking you today, as we close this message, I'm asking you to listen to him. He'll give you glimpses of his glory. And for each one of you, those glimpses is going to be different than it is for the next person. But listen to him. Do what he says. Please stand with me. My Father, oh Lord, you have given us such a beautiful picture. I imagine it in my own mind, Lord, of you being transfigured, of your glory shining through. I can picture it in my mind from the description that is in the Gospels. But that picture is of no value, Lord, I know, if I don't listen to you. May that be who we are as a people at Lighthouse, a people who listen to you, not just with our ears, but with our action. And may you be glorified in us. Oh, Father, if there's anyone here who does not know you, let today be the day of salvation. Regenerate their heart today, that their eyes would be open and that they would hear with ears to hear. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. That is a message we all need to remember. Do what he says. Listen to him. That is Christ. We should be a people that listen to Christ and who glorify him in our lives and in all that we do, and it starts by leaning on his word. God reveals himself to us through his word, and it is there that we begin to catch those glimpses of his glory. I want to thank you for joining us today. If you have enjoyed this message and would like to hear more, Pastor Jim can be found on sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Baptist Church in St. George, Kansas. If you would like to contact us for prayer or questions, or if you would like to support us in this ministry, we can be reached at one of the following ways. On the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or by phone at 1-800-416-9352, or by writing to us at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. I want to thank you once again for listening to Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Now, may God bless you and bless the hearing of his word.